don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Crypto Economy Quick Read. All right, guys, welcome back to the Crypto Economy Podcast. We are finishing this beast out with Section 7 today. This is the iterative capital thesis for the people who are just joining us. I think this is going to be part, 9 now that we've broken this thing into. This section is titled The Investment Outlook. So same caveat as before, if you are just getting here at this point, go back and listen to the first 8 parts of this series. We're reading the iterative capital thesis on the cryptocurrency phenomenon, and it is an amazingly thorough piece breaking down and everything that laid the groundwork for Bitcoin to exist in the philosophy, the history, the software and open source movement mentality, and everything literally like leading up to this. It's just a really great piece. There is actually an appendix. There's a last part, which is actually has its own little length. It's about popular conceptions on price trends. But I'm actually not going to do that on the show. This will be in the long read version that I'm going to be handing to the Iterative Capital guys to post on their website. But there's a lot of charts, and I don't really want to describe the charts. I'm just going to read the captions as I've done like throughout this whole piece. And because it's kind of chart heavy and it's just talking about the price, which, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's very interesting, and I love discussion about the price, I just don't think I want to actually cover it on the show. But since I will be reading it, I might throw it in at some point, maybe on a day when I don't have an episode or I'm not going to be able to get one out, I can just hit this section about price theories on Bitcoin, even though it's a little, it's clearly a more visual section. There's a lot that in the reading that, you know, obviously is explained very well, and the overall idea is comes across in the writing, but still it's very much a look at the fractals, you know, the chart, how the chart lays it out and correlations between hash rate and price and, you know, all that good stuff. So it's a very visual section that these other sections have not really been. So with that, we're just going to stop this one here. We're going to conclude it with Section 7, The Investment Outlook. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump in. Section 7, The Investment Outlook. Hypothesizing about cultural and economic impacts at scale. Quote, "The truth was, their revolution was not about an idea. It was about how you manage things," end quote. BBC filmmaker Adam Curtis, re Occupy Wall Street. We have presented Bitcoin as an innovation in organization design. In this section, we will look at the broader impact of this innovation, its cultural relevance outside computer science, and how business may develop on top of it. Cultural historical timing is apt. Ward Cunningham is the engineer who coined the metaphor technical debt, and he draws a parallel between poor choices in software development and financial debt. Quote, "I coined the debt metaphor to explain cases where people would rush software out the door and learn things, but never put that learning back into the program. That, by analogy, was borrowing money, thinking you never had to pay it back. Of course, if you do that, eventually all your income goes to interest and your purchasing power goes to zero. By the same token, if you develop a program for a long period of time and only add features, never reorganizing it to reflect your understanding, then all of the efforts to work on it take longer and longer. End quote. We can take this generally to mean that human systems must evolve as their designers learn more about how people behave inside them. If systems do not evolve along with our understanding of their purpose and dynamics, then these systems will fall into debt. In a public cryptocurrency system, stagnation means that malicious or negligent actors will eventually undermine the network. The Occupy Wall Street movement emerged just 2 years after Bitcoin in 2011 as a response to an unaudited $29 trillion Fed lending binge that exceeded the $700 billion TARP limit set by Congress. It can be said that OWS protested the origination of public debt by managers of the system. Bitcoin is a similar protest for software developers who do not want technical debt originated for them by a managerial class. Both Bitcoin and Occupy Wall Street are responses to a perceived weakness in human systems, which occasionally allows small groups of managers to indebt everyone else. Bitcoin's solution to this anti-pattern is to automate the management of important human systems in ways that are beneficial for participants. Dilution of institutional boundaries may ensue. To understand the impact of Bitcoin, we return to Coase and his theory that firms exist to reduce the transaction cost of specialists who collaborate in business. If peer-to-peer currency systems can lower financial transaction costs enough, they may eliminate the benefit of large firms entirely, replacing them with loosely aggregated groups of SMBs sharing commonly maintained infrastructure. Coase writes that such a development would have massive societal impact, namely to subvert intellectual property laws and undermine the economics of large institutions. Quote, I showed in The Nature of the Firm that in the absence of transaction costs, there is no economic basis for the existence of the firm. What I showed in The Problem of Social Cost was that in the absence of transaction costs, it does not matter what the law is, since people can always negotiate without cost to acquire, subdivide, and combine rights whenever this would increase the value of production. In such a world, the institutions which make up the economic system have neither substance nor purpose. Cheng has even argued that if transaction costs are zero, the assumption of private property rights can be dropped without in the least negating the Coase theorem. And he is no doubt right. End quote. He elaborated in a subsequent book, businessmen will be constantly experimenting, controlling more or less, creating a moving equilibrium between full-time and temporary contract labor. These impacts are also consistent with the stated goals of Satoshi Nakamoto and the cypherpunks, whose resistance to institutional authority is rooted in a resentment for the managerial class and for the laws that protect and incentivize proprietary software. Timothy May, the Intel executive and an original cypherpunk, predicted in 1992, quote, just as the technology of printing altered and reduced the power of medieval guilds and the social power structure, so too will cryptologic methods fundamentally alter the nature of corporations and of government interference in economic transactions. Combined with emerging information markets, crypto-anarchy will create a liquid market for any and all material which can be put into words and pictures. And just as a seemingly minor invention like barbed wire made possible the fencing off of vast ranches and farms, thus altering forever the concepts of land and property rights in the frontier West, so too will the seemingly minor discovery out of an arcane branch of mathematics come to be the wire clippers which dismantle the barbed wire around intellectual property. End quote. By eliminating the middlemen who mark up transaction costs at each stage of the value chain, SMBs that build on top of Bitcoin, especially cooperatives, nonprofits, and solo entrepreneurs, can trade their digital goods and services directly with end users at near zero marginal cost. What cryptocurrency-based independent employment looks like. Individual entrepreneurs or small groups of developers can monetize free and open source projects in a number of ways. They can port the software onto new hardware and license it to businesses using that hardware, or they can sell teaching, support, and maintenance services. Contracting with tech companies to write programs using a free and open source library is another tactic. Indeed, many cryptocurrency developers have small consultancies that engage in consulting services. An example would be Ethereum co-founder Gavin Wood's software agency, Parity. Older FOSS projects provide insights into the future of Bitcoin. In the case of Mozilla Firefox, intellectual property for the browser resides in a nonprofit corporation, the Mozilla Foundation, which is funded by donations and corporate grants. Taxable business activities are conducted in a wholly owned for-profit subsidiary, the Mozilla Corporation, which was formed in August of 2005. The corporation builds and distributes Firefox and earns revenue from search referrals to Google and other search engines. This dual entity structure, with a foundation and a corporation, has been mimicked in other open source projects, including Bitcoin, which is maintained by a group of developers known as Bitcoin Core, some of whom who have formed a commercial entity called Blockstream, which builds enterprise applications on top of Bitcoin for profit. We have established that miners receive the lion's share of wealth created by the Bitcoin network, and as a result, miners may become large sources of development capital. Many large-scale miners also manufacture machines and operate mining pools for other miners at a small fee. Bounty hunting is another approach to software entrepreneurship. Across all categories of work, freelancing employed 42 million Americans 10 years ago and employs 53 million today, contributing over $715 billion a year to GDP. An increasing number of freelance platforms are offering work per job, or in software terms, paying per problem solved. Contract job boards such as GeekBoy, HackerOne, ZeroCopter, KugCrowd, and Gitcoin allow developers to take contract development jobs on a per-problem basis, getting paid for their solution, not their time. Major technology corporations have used so-called bug bounties for decades. Augur, a popular blockchain project, can be seen below using the bounty hunting method to address a security vulnerability. At Augur Project, quote, $200,000 for critical vulnerabilities on at hacker 0x01. Figure 19. Augur is just one of many cryptocurrency projects using bounty-based employment to affect quality assurance. Perhaps the best implementation of a Bitcoin-based bounty hunting system is BitHub, created by Cypherpunk and Signal Messenger creator Moxie Marlinspike. BitHub does two things for Signal Messenger, which is free and open-source software. One, it allows Signal Messenger to take donations in Bitcoin. And two, it pays out this Bitcoin to developers who fix bugs. In this way, existing products and services can hire and retain high-quality engineering talent on a completely pseudonymous basis, and totally ad hoc, simply by offering a Bitcoin payment. Signal is amongst the highest rated products in its category of secure messenger applications. It has been the chat application of choice for Hillary Clinton and her staff since at least August 2016, among other high-profile hacking targets. At Whale Panda, quote, Bitcoiners are their own angel investors and VCs. Honey Badger don't care if you come from Silicon Valley. Anyone can participate. Bitcoin is permissionless. Many Bitcoiners have FU money, and devs either care about working on something amazing or are funded by other Bitcoiners to work. Hart Foss. End quote. Figure 20. Bitcoiners are proud of their incentive system, which accomplished large-scale work without financing or incorporation. Bitcoin is often characterized as a honey badger for its rugged characteristics. Investigating the altcoin business model. Because Bitcoin develops slowly in the bazaar and has no marketing department, it can appear from the outside fairly chaotic and, by all appearances, worse than privately developed alternatives. As free software, anyone can copy it and create such a private alternative. Launching an altcoin gives you the financial runway to reproduce the stability of corporate employment without answering to investors, just miners and users. What is the distinction? In a cryptocurrency context, a scam is a project which 1. Will not grow or retain its developer pool, forestalling any chance at viral growth or stability. 2. Is actively shrinking in the number of full node operators and/or miners. And 3. Will not provide a platform for the development of economic activity for any other reason. Not all network operators are intentional scammers. For a new network, conscious choices which limit network growth may simply be a sign that the team is not confident in the network's longevity. Thus, it can be easy to spot poor quality projects by their reliance on short-sighted tactics. While there is no firm litmus test for the viability of a project, the following characteristics can be considered red flags. The network is operated primarily by one incorporated entity. Any component of its software is proprietary. Decisions about code commits are closed to outside contributors. Development process is private. Only insiders know how decisions are made. The project is free and open source, but multiple implementations are politically unviable. Obstacles to altcoin competition. Bitcoin is a complex codebase which contains 12 years of brilliant engineering. Starting from scratch means re-encountering many of the same problems all over again. Forking and attempting to work on an unfamiliar codebase can mean endless frustration as one learns its peculiarities. The biggest challenge to competing with Bitcoin is catching up to thousands of hours of contributions it has received. Accelerating past the normal pace of open allocation requires some new tricks, because the usual speed-ups, raising money, paying fat salaries, and central planning, often end up reducing developer draw and hardware draw, not increasing it. DACs, or Decentralized Autonomous Companies, are an attempt at overcoming this problem using the usual corporate carrots, resource planning, a salary, and stable employment, but without the dreaded human managers. This may enable project velocity to increase without the introduction of undesirable qualities, but the efficacy of this approach remains to be seen. DAC-operated cryptocurrency networks are interesting to the extent that they fulfill the following requirements. 1. Are similar to Bitcoin in architecture, with proof of work securing the base layer. 2. Coins are exchangeable for Bitcoin without a trusted central party in an atomic swap. 3. Is resistant to fork attacks from large ASIC miners with plenty of hash rate or fork-resistant mechanisms. 4. Can use hybrid proof-of-work proof-of-stake to improve the fairness of human consensus. 5. Have some mechanism by which the contributor base may scale to the point where development velocity exceed Bitcoin's. 6. Isn't controlled by a dictator, which reduces the fun and freedom of open allocation, killing developer draw. And 7. Has a talented team which can attract a lot of engineers and excitement to test limits of team scale. Where value accumulates for investors. who benefits from the forces at work in public cryptocurrency networks? The following points represent outstanding opportunities for capital. Given, Bitcoin is a self-organizing infrastructure project which provides flexible employment and intellectual stimulation for technologists. Insight. For these reasons, Bitcoins themselves are valued collectibles within the technologist demographic, which is a critical and growing segment of the workforce. As infrastructure improves, perceived value increases. Given. Owing to Bitcoin's 10-year head start and brilliant contributor base, its development will outpace all but a few exceptionally competent projects. The few projects which survive will do so by innovating on top of Bitcoin's incentive model to speed development velocity without introducing technical debt, catching up with Bitcoin in functionality and network security. Insight. Over time, the entire value of the asset class will collapse into a select handful of undervalued cryptocurrencies, which have used DAC or hybrid consensus governance to increase project velocity to the point of competitiveness with Bitcoin. Given, in a large and secure cryptocurrency network, miners are equivalent to Galbraith's shareholders, irrelevant fixtures to its development, but owners nonetheless. Insight. Mining OEMs, large-scale mine operators, and mining-related service providers will accumulate the vast majority of wealth created by Bitcoin and other cryptocurrency networks during the issuance period, despite expending far fewer human resources than the software developers who volunteer contributions. Given, the speed, cheap costs of operation and settlement finality characteristic of Layer 2 point-to-point networks built on top of base layer cryptocurrencies will make them ideal for retail and e-commerce payments as competitors to Visa, MasterCard, and PayPal. Lightning Network has been well explained already by others. Insight. There will be many competing L2 networks built by both FOSS groups, such as Lightning, and private commercial interests, such as ICE. On-ramps and off-ramps to L2 networks will become extremely valuable as liquidity grows. These ramps include wallet applications, exchanges, and OTC dealers. Secondarily, these ramps will serve as natural portals for e-commerce activity. Given, as cryptocurrency transaction volume increases, major platforms like Apple iTunes and Google Play will continue to block cryptocurrency apps and digital collectibles from their devices, protecting their in-app Apple Pay and Google Pay purchasing frameworks, which developers on those platforms are required to use to sell digital goods. This payment framework apartheid will create demand for third-party privacy smartphones running Linux-based GNU or BSD operating systems, and which natively run cryptocurrency protocols. Already, at least one such distribution has appeared. Insight. After ASIC miners, smartphones will be the second most valuable category of cryptocurrency-specific devices whose prices are denominated in cryptocurrency. These devices will become highly valued distribution and aggregation points for products and services offered by entrepreneurial joiners who integrate with and build atop Bitcoin and other networks. Given, forced to compete with free software developed by large, self-organizing masses of volunteers and gaining nothing but unnecessary costs from their strict full-time hierarchy, major SaaS or software-as-a-service companies will suffer financially, forcing consolidation and layoffs. Many of these companies will launch competing blockchain-based systems, but they will be too expensive and insecure for practical use. This may cause unexpected frustration for large software companies. Insight. We expect a private equity boom in the early 2020s in which tokenized debt financing is used to finance a wave of hostile bust-up takeovers, unbundling large public technology companies, laying off elements of their techno structure and reorganizing their teams to function autonomously on an open allocation basis. New digital financial products will be issued which entitle investors to streams of income from individual teams, products, or services within the formerly unified company. In this way, public stocks will become baskets of atomic equities that represent the performance of each constituent unit in a given value chain. Divisions between corporate entities and jurisdictions will cease to be relevant factors in the issuance of public and private securities. This activity will be pioneered by engineer-led investment groups, not incumbent underwriters, who will not be able to retain the necessary engineering talent to undertake such activities. The passing of the last insight would amount to the disintermediation of big capital, an idea that has been discussed favorably on social media, as expressed in Figure 21 below. At Budion, developers are a commodity to them. They are backroom staff who make things happen. Now the backroom staff own everything, and there is nothing they can do to stop it. And if they don't go along with it, they will be shut out and poor. This is the source of their pain. End quote. Figure 21. Antipathy for corporate managers and venture capitalists runs deep in the Bitcoin community. Things investors should generally avoid. Initial coin offerings, or ICOs. As we have discussed, cryptocurrency projects only qualify as good platforms for business if they earn volunteer contributions. Pre-minting tokens and selling them to investors with a rich stash held back for the team creates strong incentives for technical debt and command and control management, which eventually drives out the best talent, crushing the utility of the network and the price of the coin. ICO advisors and diversified ICO coin funds. The market leader, Bitcoin, has exhibited extreme virality amongst software developers, miners, and retail investors. It has strong network effects. Very few projects will survive alongside Bitcoin, and they will be successful for reasons recounted in this essay, reasons that most ICO launchers would find surprising and counterintuitive. Over-diversification will kill most cryptocurrency investment funds, who will miss out on market beta by holding too little Bitcoin. Venture-backed cryptocurrencies and private blockchains. The 10-year investment horizon for venture capital funds limits long-term thinking because companies are forced to dazzle investors each time they recapitalize. This fundraising treadmill feeds marketing narratives and wow features that generate technical debt. As we've learned, such systems cannot compete with the costs of open allocation, non-commercial projects. Categorizing coins for investment. In this paper, we have discussed the context and origins of hacker culture, the free software movement, cypherpunks, and the currency system Bitcoin, which is characteristic of these origins. We believe there are a substantial number of people who value Bitcoin strongly for the reasons mentioned. Which coins are also valuable? Developing criteria from the narrative above is fairly straightforward. To someone who values Bitcoin, altcoins are valuable if they meet the criteria in Section 7, but with alternative techniques. Coins become less valuable as they adhere more towards traditional, hierarchical corporate software development processes. Here is how we categorize coins. Figure 22. Plotting the investability of cryptocurrency projects based on organizational design. Bitcoin and Ethereum can be said to be in the lower right and lower left quadrants, respectively. Private chains, such as Ripple, would appear in the upper left. Hybrid proof-of-work, proof-of-stake chains are in the upper right-hand corner. 1. The top left quadrant. A non-starter for investors. It is pure speculation on corporate-style projects, which will inevitably rank lower in development draw and higher in transaction cost, with more bugs and less stability than FOSS permissionless blockchains. 2. The lower right quadrant. Bitcoin appears here, along with similar open allocation FOSS forks of Bitcoin. While the fork may begin with one developer, others quickly join if they see differentiation characteristics in the new fork. 3. The lower left quadrant. Reflects the reality of many FOSS permissionless blockchains, which may have begun life in the lower right quadrant. Ethereum seems to be migrating from the lower right to the lower left. These quadrants are generally investable, but the migration towards the lower left is considered to be a negative attribute for a permissionless chain. 4. The top right quadrant. Meaningful attempts at innovation on top of Bitcoin are here, in the form of accelerating project velocity with automated governance and without introducing the flaws of centralization, namely technical debt and lack of open allocation. Projects in this quadrant can easily slide into the upper left quadrant if poorly executed, making them less investable. Conclusion. What is driving the cryptocurrency phenomenon? Bitcoin has been largely characterized as a digital currency system built in protest to central banking. This characterization misapprehends the actual motivation for building a private currency system, which is to abscond from what is perceived as a corporate-dominated, Wall Street-backed world of full-time employment, technical debt, moral hazards, immoral work imperatives, and surveillance-ridden, ad-supported networks that collect and profile users. To developers, adoption of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency symbolizes an exit, or partial exit, of the corporate financial employment system in favor of open allocation work, done on a peer-to-peer basis in exchange for a currency that is anticipated to increase in value. Freelancing and solo entrepreneurship are already popular in Silicon Valley and amongst millennial and Gen X workers because these lifestyles afford them self-directed, voluntary work. Highly skilled technology workers are already fed up with big tech, the drive for profit, and the specter of technical debt. The leverage is increasingly on the side of the individual engineers. This is why the Uber executive quoted in the preface fears the company may be fucked if it can't hire any good engineers. This exiting of the mainstream employment system is why some members of the investment class may intuit Bitcoin as a threat. 1. If technologists exit the corporate financial system en masse, the reduction in available technical labor would stymie the technical development of public companies, banks, and governments whose services are increasingly digital. 2. If technologists build a cheap, private, and reliable alternative financial system, and if such a system cannot be regulated or taxed out of existence, then business activity will flow naturally into such a system to realize lower transaction costs. This draws value out of existing forex, equities, and real assets, crushing the margins of existing financial services. We believe these points provide critical insight into Warren Buffett's classification of Bitcoin as rat poison, which is similar in tone to the reaction of Steve Ballmer to Linux when he characterized it as a cancer that would destroy the Windows OS. To the administrators of expensive proprietary monopolies, free and open source systems are deadly. Charlie Munger's assertion that cryptocurrencies are turds, also quoted in the preface, is a more nuanced and less threatened reaction than his business partners. Cryptocurrency appears to be a worse currency system than the existing system, but it's also clear that this worse substitute is interesting to young people. It simply confounds Munger that worse is better when a financial system is built in software instead of paper. He has probably never developed software or encountered New Jersey style, but that's no fault of his. Summary. For the last 50 years, technologists have been motivated to create a culture of software development that exists outside institutional boundaries. Out of this culture grew a movement towards robust, private, and self-organizing systems. This vision is embodied in Bitcoin, which lays the groundwork for ways of working in information technology businesses without a bureaucracy. Given what we know about the moral quality of the cypherpunks' struggle against institutional oversight, it's easy to see why a sense of righteousness might be on display in the most fervent Bitcoin advocacy groups. In short, William Shatner got it right with his assessment in 2014. Quote, at William Shatner, "So Bitcoin is cyber snob currency." End quote. Figure 23. If hackers can be deemed programming snobs, and we think they can, then William Shatner's assessment of Bitcoin in 2014 was highly perceptive. Far from being a novelty or prototype, Bitcoin has showed itself to be a threatening alternative to present-day organizational conventions and to the large commercial businesses that rely on them. It may spur a radical unbundling of corporate business as it lowers transaction costs for the institutions that adopt it. While the effects of such unbundling are unpredictable, value seems most likely to accumulate in cryptocurrency services businesses, in hardware makers and operators that rent computing resources to the network, and in building businesses on the Layer 2 networks. In the final part of this essay, we have looked at the potential impact of Bitcoin's success and expectations about its price. We've examined why most altcoins are doomed, and we have provided guidance on investments to avoid and hypothesized where value will accumulate for savvy allocators. To learn more about specific investment strategies in the cryptocurrency asset class, or to view industry news through our investment lens, please sign up for the Iterative Capital newsletter. And we have finished. Holy crap, that was a heck of a piece. I hope you guys enjoyed that thorough walk through the investment case around the cryptocurrency phenomenon. And I thought this, the final section here, was a particularly pertinent one. And the last insight in the givens and then their insights from them was a pretty fascinating prediction that essentially we will see the unbundling of large public technology companies. So everything that's been in the process of basically undermining incumbents in a lot of these industries is about to be undermined by the open source networks in these open allocation systems and kind of distributed business operations. So this whole piece was just incredibly, incredibly fascinating to me. I am so thankful. I don't even remember who it was. A number of people pointed me to this piece, though. And thank you for doing that. And also, I kind of hate you because this was a hell of a piece to tackle to do audio for. But I will still be doing audio for the appendix and the which is all about like predictions and discussions about price moves and kind of fractals and bear bull market periods and that kind of stuff. I will still be doing that, but that will only be available in the long read when I have that out. And I will let everybody know. I'm going to try to get through this pretty quick and have this out so I can give it to the Iterative Capital guys and they can post it on their website. But when they do that, I will have the first section, which I skipped, as well as the last section, which I am leaving off here as well. So don't forget to check that out, and I will link to it and let everybody know when the full long read version is available, the full audiobook of the Iterative Capital thesis here. So with that, I am going to take a break. I am exhausted. I am a little bit warm here in my sound fort. So I am going to leave you guys here. I hope you enjoyed that. Do not forget to share it with everybody you know in the cryptocurrency space. This is a huge one for understanding what is providing value, what is likely doomed to die, and it is a great investment lens to see with which to look at this whole ecosystem through. I think this was just an incredibly valuable piece to anybody who is choosing to invest or get involved in this space. So definitely direct them all to either iterative.capital or this podcast, and then I will direct them to iterative.capital. Either way, just a great resource for people who are now entering the space. And don't forget to follow me at The Crypto Economy. I'm actually on Gab now. I don't know. So many people are getting banned on Twitter that I feel like I gotta have alternatives here. So I got on Gab.io. There's not really much of a Bitcoin community up there, it doesn't look like. But I do have at The Crypto Economy up there, just in case. So if you do the Gab thing, I am up there now, so you can follow me. I haven't done anything with it yet, but I'll have my stuff up there soon. Of course, on Mastodon at the BitcoinHackers.org instance, at The Crypto Economy on Twitter. I got the r/CryptoEconomy subreddit. But most of all, check out CryptoEconomy.life, where you can find all the links and everything to all of this stuff. I'm going to have the Gab link up there pretty soon. And right now, the Mastodon link is not up there either, but you can find that from my Twitter profile. So be sure to follow me all up there. Oh, and I'm Guy Swan on YouTube now. I'm going to be starting to put up YouTube videos, hopefully pretty regularly, as with, you know, time allows me to do so. But just definitely check out CryptoEconomy.life. And if you have not done it yet, swap out that Amazon bookmark, guys. Swap it out with my Amazon affiliate link, and you will support all the work on this show so that you have audio versions and can hear me read all the best Bitcoin articles and discussion in this space straight to your ears so that you don't have to sit down and read all of the stuff in front of the computer every day. With that, we have concluded the iterative capital thesis, guys. We got through the whole thing. And not only that, I'm coming up on 100,000 downloads. This is really exciting. That's a big moment. So, don't forget to share, subscribe, and leave me some feedback if you're enjoying the show. With that, I'll catch you all on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend, and I will be back here with another episode of the Crypto Economy Podcast. Take it easy, guys.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.